Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download The Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fandrax Toolshed. If you love Dynasty Leagues and prospects, you came to the right place because that's what this show is all about. Covering the majors and all levels of the minor leagues to give you the leg up in your Dynasty Leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 61 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clegg and Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another fun episode in store for you today. While we are both mock drafting in the same exact mock draft on CBS, so we'll probably have to do some picks live on the air, but that'll be fun. And with me, as always, my partner in crime from Fantrax HQ, Mr. Chris Clegg. What's up, man?
Why did we decide to record the same time as drafting? You know, I honestly totally forgot about the draft until Scott messaged me at 8 o'clock and I was the first overall pick and I was on the clock and I delayed the start of the draft, but it's okay. We're here. We're talking baseball. We're drafting. What could be better?
Right. All in the second week of November. Right.
Can't beat it.
Baseball is year round, especially with Dynasty and prospects. We got a nice show in store today. We go over a lot of the news and you know, player movements over the last week or two, because there's been a lot of, you know, intriguing storylines and player movements. So figured we'd add a second episode this week to talk about it all in the 2022 and dynasty ramifications of all of these moves and storylines. But before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/FantraxToolshed for extra content from both of us. And of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including our other podcasts, SB Streamer, Fantasy Hockey Life, Fantasy Football Addicts, Define Fantasy Football, and Fantasy Football POV. Let's get right into it now. Chris, are you on the clock?
I am on deck.
On deck. All right. So we'll make some picks live on air.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll get us into the outline here while Chris is making his pick here. Let's start with, we got a couple catchers here. We'll start with, first off, Buster Posey retired several days ago now. Probably going to be a Hall of Famer, but now he was a top 10 catcher for me. I think I had him seventh in my 2022 catcher rankings because catcher falls off pretty quickly. But still, he had a pretty good year last year, but that opens up a potential starting gig for Joey Bart. Chris, how excited are you for Joey Bart in 2022? Do you think he can be a viable starting catcher? I think he can be a back end.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I don't know if he's fully ready. The strikeout numbers are kind of alarming, even throughout the minors. Like, I mean, we know he has big power. I don't know how he's going to hit, to be honest. I know they said that they're going to run with him as the starter, but I also wouldn't be surprised to see them bring a veteran in, like bridge the gap, because this was a 107 win team. Like, in my opinion, I don't think Joey Bart's completely ready. I know he's 25. I get all that, but I don't know. I'm just not overly excited about it. He had a good year this year in AAA. But again, I mentioned the strikeouts are concerning. I think he's going to get exploited at the big league level. And so that's my only concern here, is that maybe he strikes out too much and maybe that hurts him. I just don't think he's like overly valuable for fantasy. And he struck out 30% of the time in AAA, and that's kind of alarming in my opinion. His career strikeout rate in the MLB is 37%. I don't know. That just kind of holds me back a little bit. So yeah, I'm not really in on him for 2022, maybe for long-term outlook for dynasty, but I don't know. He's kind of a tough one. Like, he hasn't really developed like I thought he would.
Yeah, no, he's definitely dropped down, you know, in terms of my future kind of projection of him, because, yeah, I thought he was going to be a plus power bat coming out of Georgia Tech. And, you know, that plus power is still there. That's kind of, that has remained consistent for the most part. But the approach and the contact skills that we saw at Georgia Tech have kind of gone back a bit. You know, I didn't think he'd be like, you know, a 300 hitter or anything like that, but I thought he'd be like, you know, 270 or so to maybe 280 at peak. But yeah, I'm thinking more along the lines like 250-ish now, maybe 260 at peak. So that's definitely gone down. But at the same time, I still love that power. If he could be, even if he hits 240 with 20 to 25 home runs, I think that could be, you know, a decent late round pick. We'll see, though. I'm still kind of in him for dynasty as a back end. Maybe he could be a back end top 10 catcher long term with that power, even if the, you know, the average is down a bit. And even in OBP leagues, he won't be a big OBP guy because he had, doesn't really walk as much as he used to, even though he was never a big walk guy at Georgia Tech either, but didn't have that big walk rate his final year, 2018, but that hasn't really carried over into the minor leagues. The walk rate's well below 10% each 2019 and 2021 in the minors. So we'll see, but at least an interesting name for 2022 drafts at the end, especially if you're in a two catcher. You know, he's a good second catcher. I agree. As a second catcher.
I think most of the intrigue comes from the power, and like you can absorb a 250 average if he gives you decent power. So like, I guess from that standpoint, especially if you're in a deeper two catcher league, then he easily plays as a C2, but you know, like a 12 team standalone type league, I don't think he's worth he's not top 12 in my opinion. That may change, but the power is the only thing that gives him some intrigue there. And that could be the difference where, you know, most catchers can't get to that kind of power. So yeah, that's, I don't know. He'll be an interesting one. I'm really curious as where his ADP ends up for 2022. It could be all anywhere. I mean, I could see people taking him all over the board. The prospect pedigree's there. So maybe people get overly excited about him. And Eric's on deck here with his next pick. So we're going to go over to Tucker Barnhart just traded to Detroit. I'm actually intrigued by Barnhart. And I'm even more intrigued by Cincinnati's option now in Tyler Stevenson.
Yes.
So that's both exciting in my opinion. You know, I don't think Barnhart's going to get the love that he deserves, but he's not a bad catcher. And the thing is, he's going to play. Like, I don't really see him platooning with Eric Hosse. Like, I think he's probably more out of the picture. And Barnhart's going to play because of his glove. Like, they need him for the pitchers. And right. So from that standpoint, like, I think Barnhart could be a huge addition to that team. And I don't think the bat's terrible. I mean, it's not great, but I'm kind of intrigued as a later, like a catcher two option. But yeah, you look back and you look at Stevenson though. And that's really where I'm interested in. Like, if I miss early on these guys, like Tyler Stevenson's definitely the guy that I'm looking to get. I mean, I don't think we've seen the best of his power. I think that there's 17 to 20 home run pop here. And, you know, we haven't really seen the raw power develop, but, you know, I really do think that he could come around with the power, and he's always had a solid hit tool. So he's going to hit for average. I'm intrigued. I think he can get up to at least 500 plate appearances. I mean, he got 402 this year, so he'll be 25 years old. I like Stevenson a lot.
I do to a degree. I do think he's going to get pushed up higher than I will want to take him, though, because there is some power there. I think he could be, you know, a 280-20 type of bat, but I think he gets pushed up way too high. But even the power, like, he has the raw power, but that really hasn't translated consistently in the game power. It's been a, you know, a lower barrel rate, lower launch angle, you know, higher ground ball rate, hard hit rate, you know, all the quality of contact metrics are like meh. You know, the whiff rate's great, chase rate's great, and he's shown a good approach, 10.2% walk rate, 18.7% K rate. So I would be willing to take him as like a back end starting catcher next year. I would take him over Joey Bart for 2022. And I have Stevenson right now, I think 10th, and Bart like 13th or 14th in my rankings. But I think Stevenson will get pushed up too high for me. But definitely a boost in value. Barnhart, like you said, he's going to play. Hosse will probably play some catcher, but, you know, he'll play some DH, some left field as well, like, as he did here in 2021. So, I think Barnhart will get the lion's share at catcher, and he'll be a decent second catcher in two catcher leagues.
Where do you think Stevenson's ADP ends up?
That's a good question. As of now, on super early Fantrax drafts here, as I try to pull up the ADP, he is, wow, Stevenson is the seventh catcher off the board. ADP is 248, obviously super early. Hosse's right behind him, actually, at 255. But yeah, he's kind of like the last. Oh my God, Adley Rutschman's 223.
Wow.
That's interesting. But yeah, he's really like, there's like that drop off. And I think like that drop off at catcher ends with Stevenson. Then it gets into all the guys that either just haven't performed, or they're, you know, the young guys like Kirk and Kiber Ruiz, how will they do? Or these guys that aren't even going to have a lot of playing time. So I'll probably have to draft a catcher in that range, but I think Stevenson will go a bit too high for me. But
yeah, we'll see. I bet he pushes to around 200. I think there's a lot of helium. So yeah, which would make him what catcher right now if he bumped up to like 200 overall?
200 would put him up six. There's only five currently ADP above 200, or before 200, I should say. Salvi Perez at 44, JT Realmuto 89, Will Smith 99. Yasmani Grandal 120, Wilson Contreras 165. So yeah, that'd put him at, that's the C6.
Yeah, that's, where's Varsho? Because I bet he's probably, Varsho's 159, but he's factored in his outfield in these.
Oh yeah, Sweeney can put him at one position here. But yeah, yep. So that'd be, you know, he'll be a C7. But yeah. And I like Varsho a lot. I know we're not going to talk about him, but I like Varsho a lot for, I think he could be a 2010 catcher in 2022. Yeah. I think there's that legit possibility.
Yeah,
the way he ended last season, from like, I put out a tweet, it was from like July 20th on, he was like top three, top four, top five in like every offensive catching metric. So yeah
Varsho's the guy I want in most drafts. Like, I'm not going to pay up for Sal. Like, if JT falls enough, I'll take him, like I actually did in this mock. But you know, I think Varsho's going to be the guy to get a lot of places.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of people are going to be trying to get Dalton Kershaw. We're probably not the only ones here, as Chris Clegg takes Pablo Lopez at pick 96 in this draft. Luckily for this mock, we're both on. Chris had first pick, 12-teamer. I have the 11th pick, so we're basically on either end. So that definitely helps that we're not like in the middle, having to pick more often. So
yeah, for sure. I feel like I can wait on this guy, but I'm just going to take him because I like him a lot. Brian Reynolds.
Brian Reynolds, good pick.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so far, I've gone Kyle Tucker, Corbin Burns, Julio Urias, Xander Bogaerts, Eloy Jimenez. I don't know if this is in order, but I get Chris Bryant, Joe Musgrove, and Josh Hader. So pitching's been being pushed up as it usually does, but so now I got to get a cue here. So we'll move into the next player on the list, kind of another Detroit or former Detroit guy, Justin Verlander. Obviously missed all of last year all of this year, I should say. Are we still saying this year or last year?
I never know what to say now. Like in articles, like I don't know what to write. It's weird.
That's why I'll try to like write in 2021 as much as I can in articles, because like, you know, that will remain relevant, you know. So
that's true.
But yeah, whatever. In 2021, Justin Verlander did not pitch, recovering from Tommy John surgery, is 39 years old, but he just recently held a workout. There was, 15 to 20 teams in attendance for this workout. And I'm not going to lie, I tweeted this out, I think it was yesterday. I'm intrigued by Justin Verlander. Like, he was one of the top pitchers in baseball in 2019 for all qualified starters on Fangraphs. He had the second highest K minus walk rate, only behind Garrett Cole, teammate of his at the time. So I am, and he's 39, coming off Tommy John. I know that's not great, but look at the other way. Like, maybe his arm's a little fresh. You know, he's had the time off. The shoulder got a little bit of a break. Now he's still pumping 95, they're saying. So this is a guy that didn't look like he was slowing down at all. You know, the last five seasons, like, he's low 3 ERA, mid 2 ERA, like, he was not falling off. So I don't think there's going to be any big fall off. And I can get him as like my SP 3 or 4. Right now he's going around SP like 50-ish overall in mock drafts, or in actual drafts, I should say. I will be all over him if I can get him as my SP 4. But what are your thoughts on Verlander for 2022, Chris?
Yeah, didn't he hit 98 yesterday in that workout?
He did, yeah. He's been like sitting 95 and hitting higher, yeah.
He's going to step right in and be fine. Like, I think he's going to pitch a full workload next year. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's tough because of the age, but even still, you think about it, and we've seen the renaissance of these older pitchers still being elite later into their careers, which I'm definitely intrigued by Verlander. I think I'm sure the price goes up over time from an ADP standpoint, but even still, like, I really, really like the...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
The possibility of getting him after pick 100, I think that's a great option. And I'm curious where he signs. Like, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
I was just about to ask that. Yeah. Where do you think he does sign?
I don't know. I mean, he has a qualifying offer, correct?
I believe he does. Yeah.
I think he gets more. I think he's going to get a 1-year deal, but I bet he gets like 22 mil. So I could see him going somewhere else. I've heard going back to Detroit. I've heard the Braves are interest, like, that'd be great. The Braves do these 1-year deals. I would pay him 1 year, 25. Like, that would be phenomenal in my opinion, but who knows? Like, he could go a lot of places because there's a lot of fits and a lot of teams need pitchers. So yeah, I don't know, but I think that will matter. But shoot, if he goes to Detroit, that's a great pitcher's park. So I'd be okay with that. But I'm curious. I don't think he takes the qualifying offer, but I could be wrong.
And you got to wonder too, even though he's had success and he has a ring, I wonder if at this point he wants to go to contender. So I don't know. I don't know if I see him going to Detroit. I think that'd be a good fit, but I don't know if that's where he wants to go. You know, like,
yeah.
Unfortunately, excuse me. If I had to, like, you know, put $100 of my own money down, and I hate to say this as a Red Sox fan, I think he's going to the Yankees. I can just,
yeah,
I see the Yankees kind of paying up to get him.
They have so many holes in their rotation.
They do. It's sense. Like Garrett Cole, and then like Jordan Montgomery is like, all right. And then it's just like, all right, then any of the young guys, stuff like Luis Gil, Nestor Cortez, like who's healthy, Jameson Taillon, how's he look? It's, yeah, a lot of question marks. And I see Verlander just went in this draft to Frank Stanfill at pick 104. So there you go.
Yep.
I was actually debating taking him as I'm on the clock here in two picks, but now I'm on deck. So I should probably get going here, but yeah, I'm at least intrigued by Verlander here. See where he goes. Cause I think he could be a top, I think he could be a top 30 arm this year. I think he could pitch 150 plus innings, you think?
Yeah. And even if he just throws 150, I think he'll end up higher than that. I bet. I don't know. If he gets to 150, I could see him being a top 20 arm. I just think that he's so dominant still. Obviously, we hadn't seen him since Tommy John, but yeah, I'll be interested to see what he looks like. I think there's going to be a lot of teams interested too, so that'll be fun to see how all that works out. And Eric's on the clock now. And
I have no idea who I'm going to pick. I have no idea who I'm going to pick. This will be fun.
This is the range of the draft where it's like, and I don't know which way to go. Like, you can go a lot of ways when you get into this early 100 range of drafts, and it's like, you never know like what's right. So yeah, it's a tough spot for sure. You know, I'm right now, obviously I'm at the one turn. So I've got 13 more picks till I get up, but yeah, you know, I've still got a couple holes at first base and shortstop. So that'll be interesting to see how I can fill them. So yeah, but while Eric's making his pick here, we're going to go actually over to his land in Boston for the Red Sox. JD Martinez opts in for 2022. So interesting decision there. Actually, I'm not surprised. I think that was a smart move by him. So it kind of beckons the question, like, what happens with Kyle Schwarber with JD back? And will the Red Sox bring Schwarber back? I don't know. I think that's an interesting question. And, you know, you probably know better than I do being a Sox fan, but I would love to see Schwarber back in Boston. I think he was a good fit there, and I think we saw him really succeed there. And obviously, JD started the year really hot and kind of tailed off. He'll be, what, 34 this season or 35?
I think 34.
Yeah. So, you know, he's getting up there. Not to say that, like, players can't perform. Yeah, he turned 34 in August, so he'll play most of next year at 34. Even still, solid year from JD. Hit 28 home runs, 286 average, 349 OBP over 634 plate appearances. As Eric took his boy Jared Kelnick there at 110.
Shouldn't be a surprise.
Shouldn't be a surprise to anyone there. But JD still has the contact skills. I do wonder, does the power kind of tail off? It'll be interesting to see. I have no idea, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Schwarber as well. So I'll turn it over to you on that one.
Yeah, you know, I do know that Schwarber seems to be very well liked within the front office and on this team. You know, he was definitely as a big, you know, once we got him and around the trade deadline, he was definitely a leader, one of the leaders on this team down the stretch. And I don't think we would have gotten to where we did without getting Kyle Schwarber at the deadline. He definitely was a great addition, but it's just, we have a lot of guys that, you know, we're trying to, you know, fit, you know, so let's say putting a square peg into a round hole type of thing with, you know, Schwarber's just not a great defender wherever you put him. I think he could be fine in left field. Like, we got away with putting Manny Ramirez out there for, you know, a dozen years or whatever. And as long as you can figure out how to play the, you know, the green monster, you'll be, you know, passable out there at least, or at least not terrible. So I could see, I would like to bring Schwarber back. I think it's a great fit for this team. Great power bat, lefty power bat in that lineup, which is definitely something we need. Pairing him with, like, putting him with Devers and Bogey and JD and Verdugo and everyone in the middle of that order. Even though the bats went silent in the last few games of the ALCS when we were up 2-1 in Houston, then we scored three runs next three games. Offense wasn't the problem here. It was really pitching this year for us. I think we still could have gotten maybe even to the World Series with better pitching. So fun to see what they do on the pitching side of things, but I would like to see them bring Schwarber back, even though I just don't know where he fits in this team, but I think that's definitely a possibility. So I don't think he'll warrant a huge contract. He won't be like a $25 million a year guy. I think it'd be more like around, you know, 18 to 20 million over a few years, maybe, like, you know, two at 35, three at 50 something. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a huge contract, but
that's fair. And you mentioned you could really use the left-handed bat here. I mean, you've got Devers and Verdugo and that's really it. I don't see Jaren Duran being completely ready to begin the year. I think he's going to pretty confident he starts the year in AAA actually. So that'll be interesting to see, but yeah, right now, you know, I mean, Dahlbeck is definitely playing first. JD's going to DH. I don't know. He doesn't really have a spot on the team. Like you mentioned, it's tough. You know, I mean, where in the world is he going to play? Unless you put him in left, Verdugo in center. I guess you can put Kike at second base. So that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think they'll figure it out. But yeah, I would like to see. Yeah, if their outfield alignment is Schwarber, Verdugo, and Renfroe. Basically, it's keep it the same as if we came back with the same team as we had this year, at least offensively. Obviously, there'll be some, you know, moving parts with like the bench guys and whatnot, but I'd be okay with that. We were a good offense. There's a lot of good bats in there. I'd be fine with that. So for 2022, though, you know, I really like Schwarber. I think he's gonna be a good value pick because I don't think Schwarber gets as much love as he really deserves. Like, his ADP is 108. I think he's better than that. I think he's a top 100 guy. I think he's, you know, could be over a full year, 35 homer bat. It's hard to really find with a good, you know, good OBP, solid enough average, lots of runs scored, and RBI in that lineup. He's at a bit high in that lineup because of his on-base skills. So I like Schwarber a lot in 2022. And JD as well. I think JD gets underrated too because, you know, he's 34 now, but this is one of the most professional hitters in the game. So I don't think there's going to be like some drastic fall off for JD here. But moving on to someone that's never played in the major leagues here. Chris is getting ready to make his pick in a couple here. Sia or Saya? I'm going to go with Saya. That sounds more, looks better. Saya Suzuki, posted by the Hiroshima Carp of the Japanese League. And he's drawing a lot of intrigue already. He was one of the best, you know, best hitters in general, in period, over there. Over the last several years, he's now 27 years old, so right in his prime. So I guess the first question that really is, where should he go in first-year player drafts? I'm assuming, you know, most people have the international players included in with the draftees and whatnot. So I've seen some people say he should go 1-1. I'm not 100% against it. I would not take him 1-1. I don't think necessarily think he's going to be bad or anything, but we've seen the transition and how hard that can be. Granted, he's better than Setsugo was. He's better than Shogo Akiyama, etc. But it's really been since Shohei that we haven't really seen a seamless transition. So I think he can hit for power. He's had 38 home runs, 25, 28, 30. He's been very consistent, actually, like between 25 and 38 home runs. You know, average right around 300 or a little more, walks a good amount. So I think he could be a solid hitter, especially depending where he ends up. We'll see. I've heard half the teams in Major League Baseball rumored already. Miami, the Yankees, Seattle, San Fran, bunch of teams. So it'll be, I guess, dependent on where he ends up more so. But he's going to start. Like, he's a, you know, this type of guy, he's going to start wherever he goes. But I'm always intrigued, but I wouldn't take him 1-1. Well, how about you, Chris? Would you?
No, I don't think so. I think we saw that mistake with Ha-Seong Kim last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're different players, but I don't know. I'm hesitant a little bit because I do think that there's more to just being a good baseball player when it comes to coming from overseas here. Like, this is a huge transition in his life. And right. we don't take the mental aspect, and like we don't think about it enough, in my opinion. And so, like, those things really matter. And, you know, he's better than Yoshi Setsugo was, but when he came over, but Setsugo was pretty solid himself. I mean, we saw him hit 45 home runs in a season. I mean, 38 another season. We haven't seen Suzuki hit more than 38, and that was this year. And even, like, a lot of people want to comp him to, like, Hideki Matsui. Matsui, I'm pretty sure, hit 51 was his high before coming over, which is, you know, really, really good. I think that he's like a light version of Hideki Matsui, maybe. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he, you know, pans out. But Yeah, I think that he's like a 20 to 25 home run bat. And I think it's easy to think that he's going to hit for high average because he's like a career 315 hitter in the MVP. But or NBP, I think I said that wrong. But I see that translating to more like 260, 270 type. It's hard to judge for sure. Like a lot can happen. So, you know, we don't know for sure. But, you know, I was doing some film study on him and, you know, his swing's really consistent. Like he makes a lot of contact. He generates easy power. He uses his whole body, which we see a lot of these Japanese hitters excel at that. They generate a lot of power by using their body. And I found some numbers and his plate discipline skills are really, really good. He doesn't chase often either, which is an encouragement. And I think that's one of the biggest differences with Tsugo is that he chases and he chased more in the NPB. So I think it's important. You shouldn't expect him to steal any bases. Yeah, I mean, we've seen him steal bases pretty consistently in the past. I mean, he stole 25 in 2019. And then this year he stole 9 bases, but his success rate's like 60%. So you could expect that to probably go down against the quality catchers that he'll be running against. So I would say if he steals you 2 to 5 bags, like that would be, you know, pretty significant. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't fault you if you took him 1-1 in a FYPD, but you know, I'm certainly not going to do that. I think that I'd rather bank on the talent that we've seen and we know, even though they're younger. And that's the thing. Suzuki will be contribute immediately, but even still, like that's kind of the hard thing to judge.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I put him 7th. I think he fits there. I guess there's like the top 6 are like really set in stone for me right now with, you know, the 3 prep shortstops, Meyer, Lawler, and Watson. You got Leiter, you got Henry Davis, and you got Chris, who am I forgetting?
I always forget Cal. No, Cal's would be a little lower for me, but
well, I'm on deck now. Who am I forgetting in that? I got to pull up my rankings here. I'm going to feel like an idiot when I forget this person's name. Oh, Brady House. Jeez. Brady House being the other one. Total brain cramp there.
Bird. Yeah.
Yeah. So the 4 prep shortstop. That's why I threw myself off. But yeah, I think he fits good at 7th there after that 6. Where do you have him in your rankings?
Yeah, I think he'll be in like the 5 to 7 range, but yeah, I definitely like Marcelo Meyer. I like Lawler, House, Davis, Leiter. Yeah, I don't know. He'd probably be 6th at the highest, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that in that range, I think he fits well. But let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back on the other side and get into a lot of Dodger news. Don't go anywhere.
The following is an actor portrayal.
With Kindley Assisted Living and Memory Care at Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County, you can anticipate more. But don't take our word for it.
My dad moved to Kindley and loved it. His apartment was spacious, sunny, and overlooked Parkland. It was a great comfort to me to see him always smiling and involved in the life at Kindley.
Enjoy quality on-site nursing and rehab services, too. Visit kindleyatasbury.org today. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, welcome back from the break. Let's get into some Dodgers here. There's been a lot of interesting Dodger storylines over the last few weeks here. I guess the biggest one, the more recent one, they signed Andrew Heaney, which has sparked a lot of discussion on Twitter about whether they can fix him or not. If this could be 2022's Robbie Ray. First off, let's calm down a minute on the 2022 Robbie Ray talk. Like Heaney, at least Robbie Ray, yeah, he was bad for a couple years before he got turned around in Toronto, but he was at least good for a few years before that. At least had a lot of strikeouts. Heaney has never been like, he's never had a year that I consider good. Maybe his first full year, 2015, 18 starts, 3.49 ERA, but didn't strike out anybody. He had 78 Ks and 105 and 2/3. But since then, you know, he didn't really pitch that much in 2016, 2017 due to injury. when he made six combined starts those 2 years, came back 2018, 30 starts, 4.15 ERA, 18 starts, 4.91 ERA in 2019, 12 starts, 4.46 in 2020, and this last year, 23 starts and 7 relief appearances, 5.83 ERA, including 7.32 ERA once he went over to the New York Yankees. It is the Dodgers, so I guess I'm slightly more intrigued now than I was like 48 hours ago, but first off, does he make the rotation? Like, you got to think he probably does, or else why they would have signed him, but I'd rather give a shot to Tony Gonsolin, who I think is a much better pitcher. And if this causes Tony Gonsolin to not be in the rotation this upcoming year, I'm going to riot. Like, I've been patiently waiting for Gonsolin to get a chance. He's been injured. He's just been like the sixth or seventh man every year, especially if Kershaw leaves and Gonsolin still doesn't get his chance. But I don't know. I think you're a bit, from gauging from our reaction on Twitter, I think you're a slightly more optimistic on Heaney than I am. So I'll let you run with it here.
Well, it's like you mentioned, it's the Dodgers. And so they develop pretty well.
And better than the Angels.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he wasn't a fit at all in New York. That was a bad move. So his strikeout minus walk rate, yeah, really good, right around 20%. I don't know. I'm interested from that standpoint of, I think that the Dodgers can work with him, work on his location a little bit. I mean, he gets pretty good arm side run. He gets that slider going. I think somebody to watch out for. So wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being a pretty solid arm. Like, I don't think he's not going to be Robbie Ray. Like, but if he's like a mid to high three, so like a 3.75 ERA or higher, then that's pretty interesting to me. And I think he's got the strikeout stuff. So yeah, I'm intrigued from that standpoint of, I think that, you know, the Dodgers can work with him a little bit and they can help him get back to the level where he can be, where he's capable of. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not like all in, but it'll be curious to see where his ADP ends up, which will probably be too high.
It probably will be. It's everyone. There's going to be at least a few people in every league that are like on the Heaney bounce back bandwagon with him going to the Dodgers now. They think he can be fixed. I'm looking at roster resource on Fangraphs. Current projections for the Dodgers 2022 rotation has Heaney as the 4 and has Gonsolin as the 3. So good. As I love Tony Gonsolin, he's going to be a huge target of mine in the late rounds, because I think there's still a ton of potential. I think he could be a top 50 arm, best case scenario. And then they have David Price as the 5. So the you got to figure, though, whether it's bringing back Kershaw or going out and getting somebody in free agency, you got to think the Dodgers are going to bring in somebody. I don't think they want their 3, 4, 5 to be Gonsolin, Heaney, and Price. No. I mean, granted, their top two of Walker Buehler and Julio Urias is arguably the best 1-2 in baseball, or at least in that discussion. But for the Dodgers, a team that's, you know, won the, you know, been an NL West winner, like basically almost every year up till this year. And then, you know, a team that's always one of the World Series front runners every single year. I don't think they're going to feel comfortable with that 3, 4, 5 of Gonsolin, Heaney, and David Price, who probably will end up being pushed to wrong relief. I got to feel if they bring back Kershaw or someone else. So, but yeah, for Heaney, I guess, I don't know. I'd be intrigued as a late round pick, but I think he gets pushed up way past where I would want to take him. It's just the home run issue has always been there. I mean, yeah, he's always gotten hit hard. Like, the hits per nine has always been really high. Batting average against on two of his three offerings last year was 271 or higher. He gave up 17 home runs on the four seamer, 4 on the curve, 5 on the changeup. Changeup was not a good offering. You know, only one that gets a decent amount of whiffs is that curveball, 35.1%. So, but overall, you mentioned the K minus walk rate was, you know, was at 19.6. XERA was a significant amount lower. It was 403 compared to 583 surface ERA. I don't know. I guess it's like at this point, I've been so burned by Heaney and seen how mediocre he's been for several years now that I'm kind of like, show me before I buy in spot with him. And like I said, if I could get him where I'd want him, sure, I'd take a flyer on him, but I think he's going to be pushed up past flyer territory. That's for sure. But moving on to the next arm here, Dustin May has begun throwing again. It was a video of him throwing posted on social media about 5-6 days ago at this point. looks like he'll be due back mid-season or so. He was one that experienced a huge uptick in, you know, swinging strike rate, strikeout rate, whiff rate, chase rate, everything. Finally, in 2022 or 2021, and there's several starts before he went on the shelf. But I am still very intrigued by Dustin May. I will let Chris start though, because I'm on the clock in the mock. So Chris, what are your thoughts on May for long term?
Yeah, long term, I'm definitely intrigued. He had the surgery on May 11th of last year. And so from that standpoint, I'm kind of nervous about his 2022 value. We saw this year with the guys like Sale and Syndergaard and Severino, how long it took for all of them to come back. So that's in the back of my mind, and I'm concerned. And always the biggest concern with me for May was the whiff stuff. Like he just wasn't getting whiffs prior. And we saw that tick up a ton, like you mentioned. And yeah, he only pitched 23 innings this year, but he did strike out, you know, 37.5% of his batters, which was huge. And I think there was tangible stuff there that, you know, gave him good reason why that we saw the strikeout numbers tick up. I'm interested to see where that number lands long-term. I think he's probably like a 28 to 30% strikeout guy, which is great. That'll play all day long. Like, I'm not going to complain about that. And I do think that the Dodgers will continue to work with him. He's so young. I mean, we got to remember he debuted at 21 years old. He's just now 24. He turned 24 in September. So, you know, even if he misses all of 2022, he'll be, you know, back at his age 25 season, which is still pretty impressive there. So I don't know what happens with him. I don't know how much he pitches next year, but I probably would guess that mid-August to September return is probably the most likely after what we've seen recently with guys coming back from TJ. So yeah, and I guess we'll see how that plays out. But long-term, yeah, I still think that May's like a top 20 type arm. He's more than capable of performing at that level, which is going to be fun to watch. And obviously the Dodgers do a great job with development. So in that case, I think he'll keep performing and keep, you know, keep seeing these numbers tick up, which would be phenomenal. So I think May could be a borderline high end SP2, which I'd love to see for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I am 100% on board there. I do think he can be that 28 to 30% K rate guy, maybe even higher. Like I said that before, like the stuff wasn't the issue. It was more so pitch mix, using the right pitches at the right time, and getting guys to chase outside the zone, because he was good for, you know, gifts by Alex Fast or Nick Pollock or Rob Freeman, the pitching ninja, with that two-seamer that had like 7 feet of arm side run, it looked like. But good hitters will lay off of that. They see it coming. They recognize the spin, they'll lay off of it. So really locating better was huge for Dustin May this year. And I was so bummed when he got hurt, because 38% K rate through his first five starts, and while keeping that low walk rate of 5.4%. You know, he still gets a lot of ground balls. The launch angle is running 2.6 degrees. Granted, it was only five starts and 23 innings, but 35 Ks in those 23 innings. I'm very intrigued. You know, so that the sinker, curveball, cutter, that cutter is filthy. The curveball is got a ton of whiffs. Like, he got 45.2 on the curve. Cutter was 51.5. That cutter almost acts more like a slider at times with how much run that gets. So I'm definitely all in on Dustin May. Yeah, he said not much value this year, if anything. I think he maybe gets 6-8 starts late in the year. We'll see. I think the Dodgers are going to bring him back, you know, be very cautious with bringing him back. And they'll probably have plenty of options to let him kind of, you know, get back at a good pace and not overdo it and rush him back. So 2022, unless you're in a deeper league, you can stash him. Great. But outside of that, not a ton of value this upcoming year, but still great buy low right now in dynasty leagues. I would be trying to acquire him wherever possible, because I think he could be a fantasy ace. And I'm sure my old podcasting buddy, Jake Devereaux, will be very happy to hear that, because he was always on the Dustin May bandwagon. That's for sure. Moving on here, the Dodgers have several prominent free agents. Like the big four: Clayton Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, Corey Seager, and Chris Taylor. It looks like if any one of these guys were to like definitely leave, I think Seager's probably the most likely to leave town. I still think Kershaw comes back, but I don't think it's a definite. So that kind of opens up a few questions, right? Like with two middle infielders leaving town, is it Gavin Lux time? We saw that down the stretch. He hit very well, albeit not with a ton of power, but hit for a high average when he gets some consistent playing time the last month or so of the season? Is it finally Gavin Lux's time in 2022? Who would close? They bring somebody in. Is it maybe Blake Treinen? And then what does that 2022 rotation look like here? So, Chris, what do you first off, out of these four, who do you think's gone and who do you think comes back?
I think that Taylor's back. I actually could see the other three leaving. I think that the Dodgers knew more than anybody else, and that's the reason Kershaw didn't get a qualifying offer. I think he's hurt. I can't see him anywhere else. That's the thing. Like, he's kind of like the Freddie Freeman for the Dodgers. Like, I can't see Freddie leaving Atlanta. I can't see Kershaw leaving the Dodgers, but I wouldn't be surprised at this point. I don't know. I think he's hurt. Maybe someone else takes a chance on him. We'll see. Kenley wouldn't be surprising either if he went, but I feel like if any of them, like Seager is like the most likely, I feel like he's pretty much a lock to head to New York. Wouldn't surprise me a bit there. And I see Taylor sticking around as well. Taylor's been phenomenal for them. So yeah.
And they love Chris Taylor too. Like, yeah. They love Chris. They love that type of player.
Right. In general. Yep. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but even still, I don't know. Seager, I would say, is probably like a strong chance he's gone. So it does open up a spot, but do they bring in another shortstop? I mean, there's so much talent out there.
There's so many available.
So do they bring in someone like that? I don't know. That'd be interesting to me.
Yeah, they definitely could. As of now, they have – it'll be Trey Turner at short, Gavin Lux at second base. And I hope you know, even with losing Corey Seager, their lineup is still like Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Justin Turner – Max Muncy, Will Smith, Bellinger, Pollock, and Lux. Is their projected eight right now, ridiculous. According to the roster. It's still really good. I think they're going to focus a lot on the rotation. Like I mentioned, like I said, I don't think they like that 3-4-5 where it is now. The lineup is still going to be a top five lineup in baseball. I don't think there's any real concerns there. I mean, the bullpen is intriguing because if Jansen does leave and they don't bring in somebody that'll take over that closing spot, Blake Treinen could be a absolute beast in 2022. He could be a top 10 to 15 closer if given the everyday role. You know, Brewster Graterol, I don't think is going to step into that role. He has some other solid guys, Vesia, Bickford, etc. But I think definitely Treinen would be the one that heads up. Even Ross Arias has him as the closer as of now. We'll see how that pans out. But Treinen would be very, very intriguing. Like, that slider of Blake Treinen, I could watch that slider all day. That is like not suitable for work. That's an NSFW slider. It's absolutely filthy. So I would love to see Treinen get that role.
Yeah, I think that he would be a perfect fit for it. I think that would be fine. I could see them going out and getting someone, even though there's not many closers on the market, at least free agent market. But yeah, I don't know. I wonder if they part with Jansen at this point. He's kind of, I mean, he had a great year, but aging, going downhill to an extent. So, yeah, I'll be curious how it all plays out. But, shoot, Treinen would be phenomenal in that closer role, which, I may have to draft him in this mock draft just to in the potential that he does get that role.
Well, sorry to tell you, but there's a certain someone that has two picks before you pick again.
That is true.
So you hold your horses. He might be in my queue right now. He is in my queue. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if I'm going to take him right here. We'll see. But I still need some first baseman, corner, middle, another outfielder. Getting near the end of this draft, another five or six picks. So we'll be wrapping up this draft. A lot of intriguing stuff going on with the Dodgers. And I would love to see Gavin Lux get that everyday second base gig. Well, I don't think he's going to be quite as good as maybe we had once expected him to be back when he was like a top five prospect. I still think he can hit for a good average, 280 type of average, 20 plus home runs, add in a little bit of speed. I think he could be maybe like a top seven or eight second baseman long term. I still think that is in play. I don't think he's going to be the number one second baseman like I once thought, but definitely very intriguing. Like we saw how good he was down the stretch in September once he got that spot when they had some injuries open up that playing time for him. I'm pulling up his stats right now. In September, he hit, in the second half in general, he hit 284. But in September, he hit 360. Albeit it was only in 60 plate appearances, but 360 with 9 walks to only 8 strikeouts, only 4 extra base hits, 2 doubles, 1 triple, 1 home run, out of the steel as well. But he, that potential is still there. So he's a nice kind of pick, you know, pick 250 or so, 200, 250. Yeah, that'd be okay taking a flyer on Gavin Lux if that playing time's there. So, and long term, I think he's still a decent buy low, but that window might be closing soon. But I don't know. Do you still think he can be maybe a top five second baseman long term, Chris?
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I think we could see him when we saw how well he hit in September. And I think that the power, I don't know where that ends up. I think the power is probably the question mark. I do think the hit tool is solid. He has good contact skills. So I think we'll see the average tick up. Like, I think that was kind of the concern when he first debuted, was that, you know, he didn't hit for average. And even this year, just hitting 242. But the contact skills are really good. He makes elite contact in the zone, almost 90%, which is really solid there. He doesn't chase a ton either. His O-swing isn't incredibly high, so it'll play. I think he's got to hit the ball a little harder. His home run to fly ball rate this year also was kind of detrimental at 8.8%. So that wasn't good. And I think in the postseason, we saw him struggle because he was playing out of position. And he made a couple blunders in center field, which hurt him, I think. So, yeah, that was kind of the holdup. And they didn't play him much after that. So I think he could be a 20 home run bat that steals 5 to 8 bags and be a 270 type hitter. So at second base, like, that'll play all day long. And he could even have outfield eligibility too, which I'd really like.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That nice dual eligibility there. All right, moving on to our last segment here. This a little fun segment with all the, you know, the MLB award, you know, finalists being announced recently. Figured we'd quickly just make our picks. Not who we think will win each of these awards, but our personal picks. Let's go with, we'll finish with MVP last. So let's start with the manager of the year. Let's go start in the National League. The three finalists, Craig Counsell of the Milwaukee Brewers, Gabe Kapler of the San Francisco Giants, and Mike Schilt of the St. Louis Cardinals. I think it's a shoe-in at this point. I think it's going to be Gabe Kapler taking a team of that was not expected to contend this year with the Dodgers, and they did, and could have made it a deep playoff run. They were very close to doing so. So I think if I had a vote, I would go Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, I think that's the easy pick. I'd love to see Schilt win it after getting fired. How great would that be?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I hope that Schilt wins it, but I think it's pretty much a lock for Kapler. So he had a great year. I mean, he got the most out of his team. So I think that's a pretty easy pick there.
Yeah, absolutely. In the American League, it's, I think, more of a competition. You got Dusty Baker from the Houston Astros, Kevin Cash of the Rays, and Scott Servais of the Seattle Mariners. You know, honestly, even though I think Dusty's going to win it, I'd bet a good amount of money on Dusty winning it. My vote would be for Scott Servais. He took a team that was probably, I think, projected for like 70 to 73 wins and had them in playoff contention, postseason contention, right until like the second to last day of the year, or even the last day of the year, with a team that, except they weren't expected to contend, didn't have a lot of star power there. He got the most out of that team. So I would, if I had a vote, I'd go Scott Servais.
Yeah, I agree. That would be my pick too. I don't think he wins, but I think that he did the best job of getting the most out of his team. You mean, this was the first time since 2003 that the Mariners had won 90 games. So I think that speaks a lot of volume. I wish they had gotten that wild card. That would have been pretty awesome to see. But yeah, I think he did a phenomenal job. And so I would pick him, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Dusty win it.
Yeah, I think Dusty does win it. Everyone loves Dusty. I love Dusty too.
Yeah.
And now over to Rookie of the Year, National League. Three finalists, Trevor Rogers of the Marlins, Jonathan India of the Reds, and Dylan Carlson of the Cardinals. I've gone India here. I think Rogers would have been my pick if he didn't miss time for the the personal reasons he had to take this several starts off. I think that kind of hurts his chances for Rookie of the Year. And then Jonathan India really just came on second half of the year. 21 home runs, 12 steals, 34 doubles, 376 OBP. Really was just one of the best hitters in the National League, period. Not just for rookies, just period, over the last couple months of the season. So I would go India.
Yeah, that's my pick too. I think, like you mentioned, I think Rogers had a good argument if he had thrown more innings, but India was so stinking good. I mean, he finished fifth in OBP ahead of Votto, produced a near four war at 3.9. So yeah, I think that he's the shoe-in, in my opinion. And I think Rogers will get a couple votes, but I think India is definitely the guy.
Over to the American League. I wouldn't say I'm shocked, but I don't think Wander Franco should be a finalist. Yeah, he had the, what was it, 40-something on base, game on base streak, hit, I think, 288, really came on, hit over 300 the last couple months of the year. But I think there was maybe, I would have given the other finalist spot to, like, Ryan Mountcastle, Adelis Garcia, someone like, Adelis Garcia went 31-15 this year, not even a finalist. That's, I don't, yeah, it was very up and down, but yeah, kind of odd that they gave Wander Franco the nod. I am not going Franco, but I'll go over to you first. Who do you got here between Randy Arozarena, Wander Franco, and Luis Garcia?
I think that Arozarena gets it. I, like I said, I'm surprised too that Wander got in just because of the lack of games. I mean, he was obviously really good, but it's tough. I think Arozarena did the most, even though Arozarena kind of had an underrated season in a way. I think he still went 2020, had an 815 OPS, but I don't think people really saw that. And so I think that he probably wins it, even though I feel like he's been a rookie for 8 years. So,
right.
Yeah. But yeah, I would pick Arozarena is my choice.
I'll go Arozarena as well. Though I tempted to go Luis Garcia. He was very, very good this year, especially as a rookie pitcher. But yeah, I will go Arozarena as well. Moving up to the Cy Young National League, three finalists, but this was a hard choice to get down to three. There were so many good candidates this year. Like Walker Buehler was left off. I think he was the biggest snub. But the three finalists, Zach Wheeler of the Phillies, Max Scherzer of the Nationals and Dodgers, and then Corbin Burnes of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is really hard for me. I'll let you go first here. So this is really hard for me.
It's Burnes for me, and I think he should sweep it. I know he won't because there was so much talent, but Burnes' season was absolutely incredible. It's hard to argue against everything that he did. I mean,
yeah,
he had 2.43 ERA, but you look at some of the other ERA indicators, he had a 1.63 FIP. Like, that's absolutely insane. His xERA of 2.01, his xFIP of 2.30. Like, he was just that good all year. So he even, like, in an extent, like, underperformed. So yeah, he was just stellar, and he didn't throw the innings. That's the only thing he's got against him, is that he only threw 167 innings. Wheeler threw the innings. Buehler threw the innings. But Burnes was the best in the time that he spent on the mound. So Burnes would be my choice.
Yeah, I'll go Burnes as well. I was debating between him and Scherzer. I think Scherzer had obviously a phenomenal year as well. But I will go Corbin Burnes. And then lastly, going up to – actually, no, we still got one more Cy Young. Before we go to the MVP, American League Cy Young, Gerrit Cole of the Yankees, Lance Lynn of the White Sox, Robbie Ray of the Blue Jays. I don't think any of these would even be finalists in the National League. Maybe Gerrit Cole, but this is probably the hardest one for me. I'm going to go Robbie Ray. I don't feel great about it, but I'll go Robbie Ray for my AL Cy Young. Who do you got?
Yeah, this is it's crazy the difference in the National League and American League. It's kind of a coin flip for me between Cole and Ray. I don't think Lynn should have been a finalist, but again, I don't know who else would have been. So it's kind of a coin flip, like I mentioned. I think Ray gets it because you look at just the remarkable season that he had after some struggles that he's had in the past. So how he turned it around. And Cole was not great after – I think he went from June 1st on after the substance crackdown. He had like a 4.15 ERA. So, yeah, he still had his moments later in the season where he was really good. But I do think that Robbie Ray gets it. You look at everything that he did, and it was just phenomenal. I mean, led the majors with 248 strikeouts. He had the best ERA in the American League at 2.84 through 193 innings. So I think there's a lot of reasons there where he deserves it over Cole.
Yeah, I think – Who do you think? I know we both made our picks. Who do you think wins? I think it's probably going to be Gerrit Cole, but it's going to be close.
That's what I fear, is that Cole gets it. I don't fear, and that's a bad terminology, but I just think that Ray was better. But that's, I don't know. I guess it might be a coin flip. I think it's going to be really close.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be a very close vote there. Moving on to most valuable player, National League. This is tough. Like, how can you go wrong? Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto, Bryce Harper. As much as I hate to do this, I got to give it to Bryce Harper. I think he was just the best all-around player hitter in the National League this year. Yeah, Tatis had the numbers, but, you know, I don't know. Harper, that team would have been terrible without Harper. He didn't have a lot of RBI because he didn't have any RBI really the first 2 months of the season. They weren't getting anybody on base for him, but average power, speed on base, it was all there this year. It was him and Soto just absolutely dominating the last, you know, second half of the season. Like, they were head and shoulders above everybody else in baseball. You look at like WOBA and WRC plus and everything, there was those two by a mile. So I hate to go against Juan Soto. His time will come, but I think this year I would give the slightest of edge to Bryce Harper.
I'm giving it to Austin Riley. I know he's not a finalist.
Chris, but, like, finalists be damned. It's Austin Riley.
Nah, Harper was the best player. And you wonder if Tatis hasn't missed time, like how, you know, where he might have ended up, because he was phenomenal too. So I do think I think Harper's the most deserving. You mentioned he was just dominant across the board. He led the league in slugging and OPS, had a 309 average. Ridiculous. I mean, he dominated from August on. So, yeah, for that those reasons, I'm going Harper. I think he's the most deserving.
Yeah. So that it pains me to pick against my boy, but Harper's my boy too. I've been a big Harper guy for a long time now. So, yeah, definitely deserves it. American League. Okay, Marcus Semien's a finalist, but scratch him off the list. It's Flatty, it's Ohtani. Those are the big two. I got to go Ohtani. Yeah, he slowed down near the end of the season, but still, like, what he's able to do at the plate, on the mound, he was a top 25 pitcher, top 10 hitter, even with the slowdown. He still had 46-26, 100 RBI, 103 runs, 96 walks. That's just insane. Vladdy might have been slightly better in terms of hitting, but once you factor in pitching for Ohtani, I think it's a no doubter Ohtani, and it feels weird to say that with the season Vlad had, but I'll go Ohtani.
Yeah, I mean, when you perform at that level, both on the mound and at the plate, it's hard to go against you. I mean, he had a historic season that no one has ever had before. So, yeah, I think I would give it to Ohtani, and I think that he's the most deserving. So we'll see how it all plays out, but I do think Ohtani deserves it, and I wish. I projected it before the year. I wish that I put money on it.
I was going to bring that up if you didn't. I was like, you need a rich man. Yep. You got to give yourself a nice little pat on the back for that one. Well, do you recall like roughly what the odds were? Ballpark it?
I can't remember, but they slowly creeped up like towards the beginning of opening day. But yeah, it was, I think it was like 500-1 maybe.
Ooh, can you imagine throwing like $100 down, $50K right there?
Yeah, that'd been really, really nice.
Put that down towards Aiden's college fund there.
Yeah, no joke.
Or that'd be a part of it. A lot more than that. But all right, that is going to wrap us up. Thank you to everyone for listening again this week. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at FantraxHQ.com or over on our Patreon. Join us again next week for more Dynasty and Prospect Talk. But until then, take care.
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Start a global hospitality brand? Be next to do it in Montgomery County, Maryland. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com to see how our top talent, diversity, and location will help you be the next company to change the world.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEACtion with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.